Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our radio broadcast this morning. We encourage you to listen each time on Sunday morning as we endeavor to answer your questions from God's book. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word, and you'll find a little bit out about us. We also cordially invite you to come and worship with us at our regular worship times. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want you to know that you will always be welcome and always warmly received. We continue our discussion on why we believe this morning by the question, why we believe there is only one church. The common concept in the religious world is that it makes no difference what one believes or practices in religion. Therefore, one church is as good as another. Which church one is part of is really a matter of one's personal choice. First, let's define what the church is. If we don't, confusion is created when one person thinks one thing and another has a different thing in mind. The church is people. When Saul made havoc of the church, he did so by dragging off men and women, according to Acts 8, verse 3. What he did to the men and women is what he did to the church. The church is people who are saved. Those who were being saved were added to that church by the Lord, according to Acts 2:47. Those who are reconciled are in that one body, according to Ephesians 2:16. Christ is the Savior of the body, according to Ephesians 5:23. Those whom he saves are in the body. Additionally, the terms of entrance are the same. That is, what one must do to be saved, Mark 16:16 is it, as an example, is the same one that must do to enter into the Lord's church, 1 Corinthians 12:13. The term church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. It is a compound word, ek meaning out of, which we get the word exit, and kelsa, which means to call. Thus, it refers to those who are called out, those who have been called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, and out of sin into salvation, as we can read in Ephesians chapter 2, and out of darkness and into his marvelous light, as 1 Peter 2 verse 9 teaches, those who are in the church. The church is also the house of the family of God, 1 Timothy 3:15. Thus, to be a child of God, one must be in the church. Now, that we know what the church is, let's consider why we believe that there is just one church. Jesus promised to build one. Jesus said he would build his church. This statement, Peter was, I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. Notice that the term church is singular in number. The promise was to build his church, not a plurality of churches. Every prophecy of the church or the kingdom was for one. Isaiah spoke of the Lord's house, not houses, Isaiah 2:1-4. Daniel foretold of a kingdom, not kingdoms, Daniel 2:44. The same prophet said the Son of Man would ascend to the Ancient of Days and be given a kingdom, Daniel 7:13-14, not kingdoms. Micah prophesied about the Lord's house, not about houses, Micah 4:1. Jesus said, the kingdom, not kingdom, would come with power, Mark 9:1, and by the way, though some would be alive when they saw it. Our Lord taught his disciples to pray that the kingdom, not kingdoms, come, Matthew 6:10. If there is more than one church, then there are more than Jesus promised. The Bible says there's just one. Paul taught there is one church. The apostle wrote there is one body, Ephesians 4:4. Same writer in the same book said the body is the church, Ephesians 1:22-23. Thus, there is one church. The New Testament repeatedly states there is one body. We are members of one body, Romans 12:4-5. We are one bread and one body, 1 Corinthians 10:17. We are members of the one body, 1 Corinthians 12:12. We are baptized into that one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Reconciliation takes place in one body, according to Ephesians 2:16. We are called into one body, according to Colossians 3:15. If there is more than one church, then there is more than the Bible says there is. The Bible is silent about churches. There is no passage that says anything about churches, plural, or denominations. Yes, there are were a plurality of local congregations in Revelation 2 and 3, but that is not what we are discussing. We are talking about one church in contrast to denominationalism. If the Bible is silent, then it is not from God, therefore not the will of God. Excuse me. We must speak to you as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4:11. The Hebrew writer said, "For it is evident that our Lord rose from Judah, out of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood." Hebrews 7:14. God said nothing about those of the tribe of Judah being priests. Since he was silent, they could not be priests. Hebrews 8:4. Silence of God is not permission, but prohibits. Like Timothy, we are charged to preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2. It is not in the word of God we cannot preach it. The ideal of plurality of churches, or denominationalism as it is practiced in our country and in the world, is not in the word. Thus, it cannot be taught or practiced. If church is plural in the Bible, where is the passage, we would ask? Now we need to ask the question, does it make a difference when one believes? We need to focus on the question, why does it matter what one believes? The Bible, the Word of God, is the objective standard we have in religion. All of the following are descriptions of that standard. We must abide by what is written in the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We must speak as His oracles, 1 Peter 4:11. The commandments of the Lord are contained in His Word, 1 Corinthians 14:37. The Word of God is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. The inspired Scriptures, all Scriptures given by inspiration, thoroughly equipped to every good work, read 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And the words chosen by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:9-13, revealed the mind of God. Therefore, we know what is in the mind of God. If there is an objective and fixed standard, then it makes a difference what one believes. The principle also works in reverse. It makes a difference which one believes, then there must be an objective standard that we have to follow if there is just one standard. Those who believe a lie will perish. In 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12, note the contrast of the passage between those who believe a lie and those who believe the truth. Those who believe the truth in verse 12 and love the truth, verse 10, will be saved, verse 10. However, those who are deceived, verse 10, deluded, verse 11, and believe a lie, verse 11, will perish, according to verse 10, and be condemned by verse 11. Thus, it makes a difference what one believes. It makes a difference what one believes, then one church is not as good as another. Since it makes a difference, a church must follow the pattern established by God, Hebrews 8:5, and abide within the doctrine of Christ, according to 2 John 9:11. Division is wrong. Three reasons division is wrong. First, Jesus prayed for unity in John 17:20-21. Second, Peter condemned division in 1 Corinthians 1:10. And third, division is contrary to the doctrine of Christ, Romans 16:17-18. Denominational is division. The word denomination means the act of naming the name of a class or group, classification. Thus, it refers to divisions or classification. It's a term that previously was used in banking. Years ago, when you cashed a check, the teller would ask, "What denomination?" She was not asking which church, but the division of money. 1s, 5s, 10s, 20s, 50s, or 100s. You see, they were part of the whole. That's a denomination. Three things are implied by the use of the term denomination. When used in banking, it suggests there is division. If money were not divided into 1s, 5s, 10s, etc., the term denomination would not be used. Suppose that the only form of currency we have are $1 bills. The teller would never ask what denomination. It also suggests that there is one group as good as another. That doesn't mean that one is as good as 100, but one classification is as good as another. In other words, the denomination of one, $101 bills, is as good as the denomination of $100 bill. Furthermore, there are no wrong choices. That is, if you tell the bank teller that you prefer to have money in the 20s, that is your choice, no one will condemn you. The same three principles apply to churches if denominationalism is true. The concept of denominationalism. The ideal of denominationalism is that God's people are divided into various sects or groups. Thus, some of God's people are Baptist, some are Methodist, some Presbyterian, some Nazarene, some Catholic, some Adventist, some community churches, some Jehovah's Witness, some Mormon, on and on we could go. The same three points made fit here too. If this picture is true, then God's people are divided. One is as good as another, and there are no wrong choices. But we know that is not true. What is wrong with denominationalism? It is not found in the Bible. It's not an oracle of God. It is contrary to Jesus' plea for unity of John 17:20-21, and it causes division, which is condemned in 1 Corinthians 1:10. It makes a difference what one believes, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, because one can believe a lie. It is contrary to the ideal of that there is only one body. It completely contradicts that, and therefore denominationalism is wrong. There is a difference. We need to clarify the difference in three terms and concepts. Denominational. The ideal of denominationalism, as noted above, is that God's people are divided into various sects. To be in a denomination, one must subscribe to the church creed. Non-denominational. The ideal here is that the church is not part of a denomination or any one of many denominations. This church says the church is singular, and the Lord's church is non-denominational. Interdenominational. The ideal here is that the group accepts any and all. All people believe different things, but still worship and work together. Many churches will advertise a claim to be non-denominational. What they are really meaning is that they are interdenominational. They will accept about anything and everything. This is the concept behind the megachurch and the community church movement in our country. All different faiths under one roof. Nice thought, just not biblical. What does all this mean? If there is just one church, then you must be a part of that one church to be saved. Furthermore, it means that those in denominationalism must leave and renounce denominationalism. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, all of this is very apprehensive to many, and they believe very narrow-minded. Yet we've read you the scriptures, we pointed them out. Division is something that God does not desire, according to 1 Corinthians 1:10. Ephesians 4 said there is one church. Jesus promised to build one in Matthew 16:18, and we have been added to that church according to Acts 2:47, and the church is his body, Ephesians 1:22-23, and he died to purchase his church, not churches, Acts 20:28. What I want you to see, ladies and gentlemen, it is not the narrow-minded thinking of the Church of Christ. We just accept what the Bible says. The Bible says there is one body. That means that there is one church. Now, we don't mean just one church in the sense of Harrodsburg. We mean one church, one universal church that belongs to the Lord, that He's the head of, that He built, and that He purchased with His blood. Are you a member of that one church or a denomination? Think about it. Serious decision.